Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Praise Yahweh, saints. Hallelujah. His mercy does endure forever. It's a blessing to be sharing with you. Ooh, I'm still on how awesome he is. You got me going, evangelist. Hallelujah. I just love the praise. That's who he is, though. He's awesome. He's mighty. And so I just want to celebrate him today. It's a blessing to be sharing with you, not just you that are here in the sanctuary, but also those of you who are tuning in online on iChurch. They're streaming in English and Spanish today. We welcome you to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, you will find on your screen an address and an email address. We would love to hear from you. Lastly, if you are also a truth seeker, you can first start by getting to know him by his true Hebrew name, which is Yeshua. Hallelujah. So, turn, if you will, in your word, to Psalm Tehillim. For our Hebrew scholars, we love to use the true meanings, the names. They mean so much. That's why you notice we use the name Yeshua. Some of you have known it as Jesus. But his true name is Yeshua, which has meaning, which means he will save. And so we grasp the meaning and everything. And we are truth seekers. We believe that we need to study to show ourselves approved workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So our desire is to know the truth. So we're starting a new series today. And so you'll know what it is as we get into it. So we want to go to the 99th chapter. Who's ready to get into the word today? All right, amen. Hey, we need it. That's why we are here. If you got it, say, I got it.
Got it.
So it says, exalt the 9th verse. 99th chapter, the 9th verse. And it says, read with me, exalt Yahweh Elohim and worship at his holy heel, for Yahweh Elohim is holy. Let's turn to Yeshayahu. Isaiah. Yeshayahu, Isaiah, the 6th chapter. And we're going to go to the 3rd verse. If you got it, say, I got it. And one cried unto another, and said, holy, holy, holy is Yahweh Zeviot, which is, Lord of hosts is Yahweh Zeviot, which means God of the heavenly army. Awesome. And it says, let's start out again. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is Yahweh Zeviot. The whole earth is full of his glory. Let's go to Revelations, 15th chapter. You following me? Stay with me. Let's get up all the way to Revelations, 15th chapter, 4th verse. And it says, who shall not fear thee, Yahweh, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. In all of these scriptures, it's saying something. Talking about the nature of our God. It's talking about his motives operandi, who he is, his MO. And if we don't know anything else about him, we know from just these three scriptures, and I can pull out a whole plethora of them, we know that he is holy. Tell your neighbor, he's holy. He's holy. He's awesome and all these other things, incredible, omnipotent, glorious, but he's holy. If you would turn with me to Vayikra, Leviticus, Vayikra, the 11th chapter. Y'all see where this ship is sailing this morning? Okay, we're students of the word. That's what we do. We study. Truth seekers. And if you are with me in Leviticus, Vayikra, the 11th chapter, the 45th verse, says, for I am Yahweh that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So we find in the first foundational scriptures that he is holy. So then he goes on to tell us that not only is he holy, but because he is holy, he has an expectation for his people who are, tell your neighbor, that's you. That is you. That you also are to be holy as he is holy. That's just one verse. Okay. Let's go to 19th chapter of Leviticus. The nature of Yahweh is holy. When we're talking about his nature, you got to know who he is. And a lot of times we just flip, oh, he's holy, okay, and move on to the next thing. No. We need to understand what that is and who he is. Because when we know who he is, we find who we are. Who wants to find out who they are? Amen. If you want to know who I am, check out this dude that I look like, everybody said. You look at what? My father, right? Well, I'm his child. Therefore, I have some of his attributes. I'm actually up here preaching. Right? I caught that attribute. Well, if you call yourself children of the Most High, then you are supposed to contain his attributes. Because you say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Well, if you're his child, you should be demonstrating his what? Attributes. So he says in Scripture, it has been declared that if he is holy, he says, therefore, be holy. For what? So let's go to the 19th chapter, second verse. And this is something that goes out to a whole lot of people. Leviticus 19, chapter 2nd verse, read with me, says what? Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, Yahweh Elohim, am holy. So we see it again. Because of who he is, that is what we are to be. And he says we should be holy. Why should we be holy? Because he is holy. Why should we be holy? Because he is holy. Why should we be holy? Because he's holy. Do we understand that? All right. So let's go. Well, that's in the Old Testament, Pastor Tom. All right. Let's go to first. Peter. First Peter. The first chapter. The 15th. And I can pull out some more. But for time's sake, I'm giving you these. First Peter, first Kepha, the first chapter, the 15th verse. Read with me, and it says, but as he which hath called, okay, wait, hold up. Now he has called us, right? So we belong to him. He's holy. Now he's saying that he has called us for something actionable. So he says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Do you see what we're going to talk about today? Going to talk about holy, but we got another piece to it. Turn to Matit Yahu. Okay, so now we understand that our lives should be a reflection of his nature. We see that everything descriptive of him is about being what? Holy. So there's an expectation that Yahweh has for us. And when we don't meet that expectation, we fall short. Now, you can't say that you don't know what he is expecting, because he just told you what he is expecting. His expectation is that you be like him. And he is holy. Therefore, to be like him, you must be holy. So when we go to Matit Yahu, the 5th chapter, and let's go to the 6th verse. Oh, the first word is what? Who wants to be blessed?
I want to be blessed.
Right. Oh, I like to say it in its old English way, blessed. Just something about saying blessed. Just, it has a little extra stuff on it. So blessed or blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall. So if I say hunger means to crave, okay? Hunger means to eagerly desire. Hunger means I gotta have it. And I told the those who came to Wednesday night Bible study, when you hungry, I didn't say hungry. I said hungry. H-O-N-G-R-Y. Who's been hungry? Yes. And when you're driving down the street and you're hungry,
What are you doing? You're looking for some place that you can pull over to possibly satisfy the hunger. Even today, you got some folks that are hungry sitting here right now. And instead of listening to this word, you're thinking about where you're going to pull over after services. But hunger means I got to have it. I crave it. I eagerly desire it. So the word is saying that there's a blessing for those who are craving or eagerly desiring something and thirst after righteousness, because if they get that, they shall be filled. Well, filled means full, satisfied, complete. So let's talk about hunger. We just talked about hunger. And before, we talked about being holy. So we're going to talk about something that the church world has been lacking. There doesn't seem to be a hunger for the things of Yahweh. Now, there's a whole lot of hunger for things of the world. Money, fame, cars, all of those things. And people crave that. People eagerly desire that. But there's something else that Yahweh wants his people to hunger for and eagerly desire. So for a while, we're going to talk about hunger for holiness. Because the church, and I don't mean just this church, I mean the universal church, the ecclesia, are not showing or demonstrating the attributes of the God that they purport to serve. You are here Sunday, and you are coming to church, and you feel like you're really doing the stuff. I showed up. But did you have a hunger to be here today? Because anybody, any believer that's worth their salt, can I say that? Hungers for his presence, hungers for his manifestation to be in their lives. They hunger for opportunities. If I could put a question mark on this series, hunger for holiness? I'm not going to ask you to ask your neighbor. I'm going to ask you to ask yourself, am I hungering for holiness? And that's what we want to talk about. Hunger for holiness. Well, Yahweh is so great and he's so omnipotent and he's so all these things. How on earth can I be like him? Well, didn't he say that because of who he is, that's what he expects you to be? I don't think some people are sold on that. So let's go to Ephraim, Hebrews. We're going to set some foundation for what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to tell y'all, it's going to get ugly in the coming weeks. I'm not going to sledgehammer you today. I'm going to get you ready for the sledgehammer, because we're going to talk about some expectations. And, you know, hey, we're all guilty of falling short. But we need to have a clear concept of the expectations that Yahweh has for us. Because some of y'all believe that they may be unreasonable. And maybe we might find, we're going to search to see, is it reasonable for Yahweh to expect us to be like him? Is it a reasonable expectation? Because some believers throw up their hands, I ain't perfect, I'm just striving. So therefore, it gives them an excuse to say, I'm going to do whatever I want to do because I ain't perfect. I can't do it. But my God, the God that I serve said that I can do it. So let's go to Hebrews. How is he expecting this of us? 6th chapter, 17th verse. But you got to say, I got it. Says, read with me. Wherein Yahweh willingly, more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Hold up. Who is he talking to? Tell your neighbor he's talking to you. No, don't tell him that. Tell him he's talking to us. Wait, no, don't tell him that. Tell him he's talking to me. All right. Now that we have established that, Yahweh, wherein Yahweh willingly, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability. Oh, stop. Immutability. What big word. College word. Immutability simply means unchangeability. Cannot be changed. So let's say that. Wherein Yahweh willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the unchangeability of his counsel. So check this out. What he say, it can't be changed. It don't. It's non-negotiable. It don't change. A lot of times, see, instead of the believers believing that they are supposed to conform to Yahweh, instead they got it twisted and think that Yahweh is supposed to conform to them. And that ain't happening. Because Yahweh, the things that he puts down, is immutable. I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care what you think about it. It cannot be changed. And he's had the same old for forever. He's been the same way for forever. Because the Bible said Yeshua Messiah the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that tells me that he ain't changing. For you. For your little life. Your little 30, 40, 50 years ain't nothing compared to how long he's been on the scene. Your life is just a, as the word says, a vapor. It's gone. So tell your neighbor, you ain't changing nothing. You ain't changing. Y'all need to conform to him. So now he set it up. And basically, he's letting you know how he feels about you because look at the wording. He says, willing. So that means he's willing. More abundantly. He's trying here. He's not just throwing out some stuff. I mean, he's really trying to let you know. And it says, more abundantly to show unto the heirs. He didn't just say you. He puffed you up a little bit. He put some butter on it. He didn't just call you you. He said you are an heir of the promise. The immutability or the unchangeability of his counsel. Whatever it is that you need to hear from him, it ain't changing. Right? And he confirmed it by an oath. Well, if you know anything about an oath is a declaration that, hey, this is what? The way it is. And that's it. And it says, by an oath, that by two immutable things. Okay, so there's, listen up, there's two things that are going to be what? Unchangeable. All right. Have we established that? So let's, what is the first thing? It says, in which it is impossible for Yahweh. Okay, let's stop right there. That is a heavy, immutable thing. So it's impossible for my Yahweh, my God, to lie. So whatever he said is the truth. So let's go back to first case. Peter, the first chapter. So I told you to put your finger there, but that's okay. Y'all need to thumb on that anyway. Go from chapter to chapter, verse to verse. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all. So not just conversation. Oh, I need to be holy in my talk, my conversation when I'm on my cell phone. Conversation, translated, means your lifestyle, the way you live, everything that you do, everything that you do. And it says, because it is written, be ye holy. So Yahweh said, it is possible for me to be holy. So if he said that I have the possibility to be holy, it's the truth. Because I found out that one of the immutable things was that my God cannot lie. So therefore, if he told me to do something that I could not do, he would be a liar. And it has been proved that my God cannot lie. And if I were to look at another scripture, Yahweh is not a man that he should lie. Right? So therefore, if he tells me I can be holy, it's the truth. Therefore, if I seek and hunger for holiness, I will find it. Can I get an amen from the? Can we do that? So you can do it. But you have to say, I can do it. Tell yourself, I can do it. Why can I do it? Because he said it. And other stuff he say you believe. So why are you going to try to say you can't do this? He said I was more than a conqueror. I believe that. He said I was the head and not the tail. I believe that. He said I was above and not beneath. I believe that. So when he says he is holy and I can be holy, I believe that. And it's true. So let's go back to the second immutable thing. Because there's two. And we've only talked about one. So let's go back to Hebrews. The sixth chapter, 17th verse, 18th verse. Got it? Say, I got it? Okay. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for Yahweh to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope upon, to lay a hold upon the hope. So there's something set, what? Before us. We've come to him and he has something, what? A hope. So there is a hope. There's something that we can what? Hope for. Look forward to. No. Right? Which hope we have? An anchor of the soul. Both sure. Carlos, you came on the right day, brother. The soul can be what? Anchored. And the soul anchor is sure. And a steadfast, which entereth into that. So we can go to places where what? he is. You can go up into the what? What's in the veil? What's beyond the veil? Yahweh is in the veil. And he's given us the opportunity to what? Go beyond the veil and be with him. But all you have to do is just what? Enter in. You have the hope that you can what? Enter in. Which hope that we have is an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. And which what? We what? Enter in within the what? Veil. So we have a hope that we can be with him. And if we can be with him, we can be around him, we can hang out with him. And if we can be around him and hang out for him and let him consume us, then we can be like him. Hey! But we got to be able to what? Enter in. So, two immutable things. Wow. First, he can't lie. And then the second thing is what? He's given us hope that we can go beyond the veil. Going beyond. Who wants to go beyond the veil? I got to go beyond the veil. Right? So going beyond the veil and being with him, we're taking on his nature. Now, do we have to wait? No. You can enter in beyond the veil anytime. You can enter in beyond the veil right now. And he's given us that hope. But you have to enter in. He can't suck you up in it. Right? He's prepared the way for you. He's given you the hope. He said, hey, I'm right here. Right? So now you have the expectation that you could just what? Step on in. You know, usually the priest would have to go before you. And even some of them, if they was janky, they didn't make it out. Right? But thank Yahweh for Yeshua.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because you don't need no priest no more. You can just go beyond the veil. So it is possible. I can do it. You can do it. We can do it. So it's true, right? So let's do it. All right, so listen. Let's talk about some things really quickly. Romans, the 6th chapter. All right. So this is the cool thing about it. If he says, I can do it, I can do it. If he says, I can be it, I can be it. If he says, I can live it, I can live it. That's the hope. We can do it. All right. And so, let's go to the 6th chapter, the 18th verse. We need to talk about something real quickly. Being then made free. So we just talked about Yeshua, right? Yeshua paid the price for us, right? So that we could attain, that we could be reconciled back to him, right? So it says, being then made free from sin. So when that process happens, I go down in the waters in the name of Yeshua. I come up, right? Free from sin. Get filled with his, not just his spirit, but his. So if he says, I'm holy, I can be holy, as he is holy, he's given me some stuff that I can do it. Can't do it on my own. So he's given me his spirit, but, huh, wait a minute. He's described his spirit, and his spirit is holy. Therefore, for me to be holy, I need his Holy Spirit. Because without his Holy Spirit, I don't have the chance of being what? Holy. So some folks just stop right outside the veil because they ain't got the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now, some folks is out there because they just won't let the Spirit lead their life. Let's just get it that straight. But let me tell you this. At least if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the hope of going beyond the veil. But if you ain't got no Holy Spirit, you can't go beyond the veil. You ain't got no hope. Tell your neighbor, if you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you ain't got no hope. The hope belongs to those that have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, you outside the game if you ain't got His Spirit, point blank. Because the Spirit is His essence, His who He is, His power. And without that, I can't get in. You ain't got VIP status. You ain't got no key to the kingdom. All right. So, being then made free from sin. We're made free. Can I do it myself? No. You're made free. Okay? Or stay with me. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants. All right. So then you've been made free. Now you have been made righteous. Because when He made you free, when you ask Him to be the Lord of your life, your Savior, and you accepted Him into your life, He then what? Made you free. He loosed the chains. He broke the shackles. And therefore, when He did that, you were made free. Not only were you made free, but you became servants of righteousness. So He made you, what? Righteous. He did it. He made you righteous. And it says, also, when you were made free from sin, you were redeemed. So that means you are the redeemed. So I'm free from sin. I am the righteous. I am the redeemed. And I also became justified. So I am the justified. All these things happen when He made me free. So some stuff Yahweh's done. He's given you the stuff that you need. But we need to discern the stuff that He does and then the stuff that we're responsible for. He does some stuff. We do some stuff. See, too many of y'all are expecting Him to do everything. He's like, I done already set them free. I done redeemed them. I done justified them. Now what you gonna do with that? I have opened the door. Boop. Now what are you gonna do? You expect Him to drop kick you in? There used to be a song about that, a spiritual. Drop kick me, Jesus. It was. Some of y'all expect to be drop kicked. That means you ain't got to do it. He's just going to force you in there. He ain't doing that. He says, here's the door, and I've given you free will. I've given you a choice. And the choices that you make is on you. I can't make the choice for you. He can't make the choice for you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if He just made the choice? But He can't do it. He gives you the opportunity. You have to make the choice. All right. So we became servants of righteousness. So 19th verse says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. See, your flesh is weak. Because your flesh is weak, you cannot make these decisions based on your flesh because you ain't got no power. So therefore, you need the Holy Ghost so that you can be able to overcome the infirmities of the flesh. You need that power. You need that extra kick to get you over the hump. But you got to allow yourself to operate in that. All right, so
So it says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness. Hold up. So I have yielded my members to something in the past, before, right? But I had to yield myself to it, right? You didn't just boop, appear in the Snooty Fox Inn. You had to yield yourself. That means you had to get in your car and drive over to what's the street? See, y'all know where it is. You had to go drive to Western, to the motel, the hotel, and the Holiday Inn. You went to the counter. You paid the price. You got the key. You drove over to the backside and parked your car, right? So nobody would see you. You went up the back elevator. You did that. Your members, you needed the hand. You needed the feet. You needed the eyes. And you did all of that. So you yielded your members. You said, come on, hand. Come on, feet. Come on, everything else that's involved in this. And we're going to do the do. We're going to do the unclean thing. But what did you need? Whose help did you need to do that? You needed the help of your members. Who are your members? Phalanges, everything that we have, right? So therefore, when he made us free, there's a different dynamic. So he says, hey, be surprised now. Don't get it twisted. Because before, you were yielding your members for service to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. So you was doing sin on sin. You was doing sin on top on sin. With a cherry on top and whipped cream on top of sin and flesh. Lord, let me stop right there. Okay. Even so now, yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. So a lot of times people think that righteousness and holiness are the same thing. And I need to work you through that. Because now he's made you righteousness, right? He made you righteous by taking away the sin. So now you need to walk in that righteousness and pursue holiness. It's a difference, all right? And so now he's saying you did your members, you used your members for the bad thing. Now use your members for righteousness unto holiness. Right? And so it says, for when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now. Wait, hold up. But now. Wait, hold up. But now. Let's do that one more again. But so now something has happened. Something's changed. We have become the righteous. We were made free. We were made the redeemed. We were made the justified. So he did it. When we came to him, we said, I got this dirty, filthy life. I need you. I give myself to you. And he said, okay. Give me your dirty filthiness and exchange, I'll give you freedom and peace. So therefore, that process has happened, and it says, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to Yahweh, ye have your fruit.
now what he's given you, and you can walk in that now. So you used your members for unholiness. Now you're going to use your members for holiness, right? And the end of that is going to be everlasting life. Who wants everlasting life? Not death, because it said, hey, when I yielded before, the fruit of that was death. But now that I'm yielding righteousness unto holiness, right, then the end of that is everlasting life. And it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life through Yeshua Mashiach, our Yahweh. So, let's get it right. Righteousness is who you are. Got it? Say, righteousness is who I am. Holiness is how you live. That's the difference. He made me righteous. That's Yahweh's work. Yahweh did that. He made me righteous. He made me the redeemed. He made me justified. He cleaned me up. So therefore, now that I am the righteous, now it's up to me to pursue holiness. Hallelujah! It's my job. It's what I do. He did his work, and now I got to do my work. He made me to be able to be righteous, and because of the righteousness that he has placed me in, the right standing, the righteousness means right standing. Now I am standing upright before him. Now I have the ability myself to pursue holiness with his Holy Spirit. Okay? All right. So let's read this really quickly, because the interesting thing about holiness is that it the Hebrew word for holiness is hazyosin. Okay? Now, that means moral purity set apart. But there is another word that has the same root, and that word is sanctification. Right? So we have holiness and sanctification. Do we have the board? Do we have those on there? So let me spell this for you if it doesn't show up on the board. Holiness, the Hebrew word is H-I-G-I-O-S-Y-N-E. How do you see? And the word for sanctification is hagionos. H-A-G-I-O-S-N-O-S. So sanctification, right? And holiness both mean set apart. But can I sanctify myself? No. Yahweh sanctified me. And because Yahweh sanctified me, now I can do my part, which is moving in holiness. Sanctified means that you have been set apart. Holiness means you have been set apart. But the difference is, one is Yahweh's work, the other is your work. Yahweh's work is sanctification. He's like, I sanctified you, set you upright. Now you are my righteousness. So if y'all don't get the Hebrew, I got a little English lesson for you. There are three types of verbs. Are you ready? Think about back to English class. You guys thought there was just one verb. No, there are three types of verbs. One verb is an action verb. The other verb is a state of being verb. What is the difference between the two? Okay. Because you're going to need to know this by knowing what's Yahweh's work and what's your work. The way it breaks down in the English is the same way. So the action verb means it tells you what somebody is doing. Action means I'm living holy. That's the action verb. The state of being verb means it's the state of what something is. It means that I am the redeemed. I am righteous. Right? So it's still actionable, but it's who I am. So Yahweh made me the state of being. So I am the righteous. But now it's up to me to do the action verb, which is now I need to live holy. Because of who he made me, now I need to take that and I need to run with it. I'm going to leave you with this last part. Romans, turn to Romans 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. And then we'll end here. So I have a responsibility. I can't just sit on my behind and expect him to do my holy work. You can't do it. You can't wait for him to do. He's like, I've already prepared the way for you. I've given you everything you need to be holy. I die. I came down here from my peaceable place, my perfect place. I came down here, left my throne to deal with you. I had to humble myself in the form of flesh. Then I had to take your abuse. Then I had to take your filthy sin that I didn't have nothing to do with in the first place. Not only did he take on the sins of those people at that time, you wasn't even conceived yet. And he took on your sin thousands of years before you were ever born. That's awesome. He did it, right? He's already did it. He cleans you up. You were dirty. You were filthy. You were a wretch. What's the word we use nowadays? You were ratchet. Life was ratchet. And he came in. He cleans you up. Okay. So therefore now, he said, I've done everything I needed to do for you. I gave you my spirit. I set you on a path. But now what you have to do is you got to walk it. So holiness is something that you have to pursue. Holiness is something that you in your pursuit should be hungry for. So now am I hungry for this holiness walk? Okay, so Romans 12 chapter, the first verse says what? I beseech you. Wait. I'm begging you. Beseech you. Oh, my God. Beseech means like, he didn't just say, I'm telling you. I'm begging and I'm pleading with you. That makes a difference. I could tell you something. But then when I'm like, come on, I'm putting some urgency on it. I'm putting some, like, some conviction on it. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Wait, hold up for a second. Holy. Living sacrifice. Let's do that for a second. Living sacrifice. Okay, when I say something is living, it's alive. When I say something is a sacrifice, it's dead. So he's telling me to present something that is both alive and dead. How is that possible? Well, he wants me to use the aliveness that I obtained from his Holy Spirit. And he wants me to sacrifice all that flesh mess that is involved in it and kill it and make it dead, right? Hallelujah. So therefore, I can be a living sacrifice. And what is a sacrifice? Something that's dead. I gotta put my flesh, kill it, those desires. Let's go back to even before living sacrifice. Present. Well, don't you know what present is? Present. Gift. I've given it. You're not following me. I present. That means I've given, I gave him. As I gave him my life. I gave it to him. Now, if anybody knows about a gift or giving somebody a present, once you give it to them, it's theirs. It don't, but you bought it at Walmart or Target, but once you gave it up, it don't belong to them, to you anymore. It belongs to who you presented the gift to. So you, when you came to Yeshua, you gave him your life. And you presented it to him. So you don't belong to you anymore. You can't be no. Is that politically correct for me to say Indian giver? You can't give him a gift and then snatch it back. It don't belong to you no more. You don't belong to you anymore. You were bought with a price. You gave it to him. And you said, like the song say, y'all was singing it so sweetly. I give myself away. But did you really give yourself away? And what's the rest of it? So you came. So that means all that fleshly desires and stuff that you wanted, it's on the altar. It's sacrificed. It's dead. And if you know anything about a sacrifice, in the Hebrew tradition, they burnt everything. Once it was on the altar and the fire was, it was, I love this word, consumed. So when you step beyond that veil, you got to allow Yahweh to consume all that flesh. Let him consume you. Let him burn it up. Let him burn off all that fleshly desires, all that mess. And let that living sacrifice be revealed in your life. You have to do it. So we'll talk more about that as we go along, this dynamic. Because you got to understand, when you read these scriptures and say, present your body a living sacrifice, you present it. I've given myself to him. No, I'm alive because of the spirit that you've quickened in me. I can pursue holiness now. But at the same time, with that sacrifice, the flesh is dead. And I've allowed him. And my prayer, I just want him to consume me. I don't want to be so much in his presence. I want to be so surrounded by him. I want to pursue him so much that all of the flesh mess that's in my mind and all that, he'll just consume it. But I gotta be in him for the consummation to take place. Who wants them to consume him? I want to be consumed. I want to be consumed. And you have to make that decision. Bow your heads. Father Yahweh. Our desire is that you consume us, that you take us over. That is what we want. But we understand we have to do our part. We get that. And if we're not getting it, we will get it. And that's what we want to pray. We want to pray that we begin to understand the concept of living holy for you, the dynamic of what you've done in our lives, and what is our responsibility as we move forward. We've lived life. We've tried it our way. We've done our thing. And the whole reason why we came to you was because we couldn't do it. We realized that we could do nothing without you. So we help us understand the concept of giving ourselves to you. And you just taking our life and shaping us, making us, molding us. We want to pursue holiness. And not only do we want to pursue holiness, but we want to have a hunger and a thirst. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, minister to each and every one of us the importance of being in you, around you, your presence in our lives. And we give you the glory. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. Keep your head bowed. So, I must ask. We're talking about what Yahweh did. We're talking about how he made us the righteous.